Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Half past midnight, three U.S. helicopters flying low under Pakistani radars.
At 1:30 Monday morning Pakistani time.
The end began with four U.S. military helicopters.
You see the two helicopters coming in.
Two Black Hawk helicopters, four helicopters, two Black Hawks and two Chinooks.
The compound where bin Laden was found, surrounded by seven-foot walls.
Walls at least 12 feet high, topped with razor wire.
Walls as high as 18 feet carried about 25 SEALs to the compound, with a second team as backup.
40 members of Navy SEAL Team 6 took bin Laden's compound.
As dozens of U.S. commandos set up a perimeter.
Osama bin Laden had a code name, Geronimo.
A U.S. official says bin Laden was called Jackpot.
Geronimo was the code name for the mission.
Even I'm getting confused.
So there it is. We have a Jimmy Carter moment. It's another Democrat, another bungled mission in the desert. Another helicopter down, another alleged victory where there's no evidence of such. We can all cheer, but what are we cheering? Are you sure we're cheering the death of Osama bin Laden? What the heck is going on here? The story's been changing from the beginning. Do they really know what happened? Did anything happen? Is this another Capricorn One? Even the New York Times says new U.S. account in bin Laden raid, he was unarmed. Now they're saying they thought he was armed. Every day the hacks, the PR hacks, come out with another story. First, there were no photos to be released. Then a White House hack sold them to Reuters, which I put one up on michaelsavage.com. And it's a graphic, horrible photo of a man whose brains are blown out. But if you look carefully at the corpse, there appears to be a green water pistol behind the right shoulder of the dead man. And frankly, the man who is dressed in white looks more like an ice cream salesman than that of a bodyguard for the world's most notorious terrorist. He could have been a teacher for the children in the compound. He could have been an ice cream salesman who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. What is going on here? What is going on here? Do these photos seem suspicious to you? And what's with the water gun? Is that a water gun? Would you please go to my website? Take a look at the right shoulder. If the government wouldn't release these photos and one of the government officials sold these photos to Reuters, why are they not releasing the photo of bin Laden? It seems to me almost another Jimmy Carter in the desert story. I'm telling you, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. I don't know if we're ever going to get the truth. We're all going to wait for the Zagruda photo. This is crazy now. If you care to comment on these comments, you know the number. Here's the latest headline. Officials are saying now SEALs thought bin Laden went for weapon. That yesterday they had no weapon. AP news break. Geronimo's tribe seeks apology. You hear this? It's get crazy. I mean, this is nuts. Anxiety rises along the flood-swollen Mississippi. I guess no one's accusing Obama of blowing up the levees to kill white people, as they did George Bush. That went on for a few years, that Bush and Cheney blew up the levees in New Orleans. It's crazy. The story's nuts. What do you want to talk about? SEALs thought bin Laden went for weapon. What weapon? I thought he had no weapon. How could he not have a weapon? How could the world's most wanted terrorist not have even a .22 caliber pistol next to his bed? I told you yesterday on this show, every dentist, every doctor, every lawyer, every liberal, every person I know has a gun next to their bed. I don't know anybody in California who does not have a gun. That's personally me. And many of them are liberals. Well, the two liberals I know, or used to know, or I used to talk to, they were both lawyers who worked for me, but they had guns too. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a gun in their house in California. but the world's most wanted terrorist had no gun? Now they thought he went for a weapon. What weapon? Several weapons were found in the room where the terror chief died. Here it comes out, including AK-47 assault rifles and sidearms, said officials. They spoke on condition of anonymity. Okay. Shifting accounts have been Laden's final moments. Obama said releasing the photographs taken by the Navy SEAL raiders was, quote, not who we are as a country. Really? But this is the same president who was going to release thousands of pictures of the alleged abuse at Guantanamo? Really? That's who we are as a country? To blackmail the military? The president said in an interview taped for CBS's radio show or TV show, which I've never heard of, called 6.5 Minutes. The fact of the matter is, said the president, you will not see bin Laden walking this earth again. I hope not, but it could be he's been dead for 5 years. The president said any release of the photo could become a propaganda tool for bin Laden's adherents eager to incite violence. All right, I've heard that argument. All it's going to do now is produce more skepticism about this president, which he didn't need. I don't know what happened, but I'm starting to suspect the whole deal. Something's wrong with this picture. There's 100 things wrong with it. Like, why did they rush? I mean, they knew he was there for years, allegedly. Pakistan says they told the U.S. 2 years ago that there was somebody suspicious living in there. Now, all of a sudden, on May 1st, in the middle of the night, Obama says, go, 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 go. Why? Well, you could start having all sorts of conspiracy ideas. Let's assume bin Laden was in there, and they weren't going to knock him off because he was working with them, that he actually was working with the U.S. government as a useful tool, a propaganda tool, a ploy, whatever you want to call it. Okay, let's take the novelistic approach. So all of a sudden, what? The double agent decided to blackmail somebody in the administration, and they snuffed him? That's one novel for you right there. Would you like a few more novels? Because I'm not the only one who's writing these things. It's all over the internet. What's another alleged possibility? Why did they suddenly assassinate somebody? I thought it was against Obama's deep-felt beliefs. We don't hit. We don't believe in violence. We want to bring people to justice. Why didn't they bring them to justice in a court in Dearborn, Michigan? You hear what I just said? Why did they not capture him and bring him back alive? They can capture animals and bring him back alive. They can't capture him. They could have captured him. They were sent to kill him. Let's assume he was alive, and he was living happily in a kind of a junky compound there. So they went in to kill him all of a sudden out of nowhere. Why? What did he have on who, and what was he about to say that they had to knock him off? The burial at sea, I'm sorry, the whole picture's starting to smell. Even the New York Times, everyone's skeptical. Anybody with a brain is skeptical. I would say 1 out of 3 people with an IQ above 90, even on a bad fish day, are starting to think this whole story stinks to high heaven. What is the water gun doing behind a dead man's right shoulder? Okay? What is it doing there? Something's wrong with the picture. And the president doesn't look good 2 days later. He looks worse than he did when he was sitting there like a kid around the grown-ups staging the raid. You saw that photo, the famous picture. Looks like he brought him in from the golf course with a golf shirt on. And he said, oh, look, we're about to do something. Really? Where? All right, sit down over there. We got a chair for you. Take a look at what's going on. Where? Over there. Take your eyes off the birdie. And we're about to knock off Osama bin Laden. No kidding. So he took time out from a golf match, is what it looked like. He wasn't in charge. Geronimo's tribe seeks apology. Can you believe this? Only in America. What, they get a shyster lawyer from NYU who's going to sue for saying Geronimo? I cannot believe what I'm reading. I can't believe this country I'm living in. The leader of Apache warrior Geronimo's tribe is asking President Obama for a formal apology for the government's use of the revered figure's moniker as a code name for Osama bin Laden. Fort Sill Apache Tribal Chairman Jeff Hauser sent a letter to the president Tuesday saying equating the legendary Apache warrior to a mass murderer and cowardly terrorist was painful and offensive to all Native Americans. The letter was posted Wednesday morning on the Oklahoma tribe's website. Here's what he wrote. Right now, Native American children all over this country are facing the reality of having one of their most revered figures being connected to a terrorist and murderer of thousands of innocent Americans. Think about how they feel at this point. This is incomprehensible. I can't believe what I'm looking at. So the word Geronimo now is offensive to the tribe? Okay. Geronimo was a legend among Apaches and other Indian tribes for the fierce fighting he brought on during the 19th century as he tried to protect his land, his people, and their way of life from encroachment by U.S. and Mexican armies. Stories have been passed down about the Chiricahua Apache leader for being able to walk without leaving footprints. Okay, here we go now. Terrific. Geronimo, Geronimo was sent to Fort Sill, where he died of pneumonia in 1909 after 23 years of captivity. He's buried in the Fort Sill Apache Prisoner of War Cemetery. All right, it's a sad story, but what's with the children of the Apache general? They're all sad now? The children are now hurt because they don't have closure and balloons and little clowns put on a memorial? I had enough of this. I had enough of the whole thing is getting me sick. Where's the adults in this country? Where are they? Where did they go? Where'd the adults go? Okay, I could say a few other things, but it's a national radio show heard all over the world. So what do you want to talk about? Obama, currency's collapsed. China's about to dump our debt. The dollar is taking a beating. The jobs are not here. Manufacturing is fleeing the country. Well, let's go down the list of what they're hiding with this whole charade about Osama bin Laden. I want to see that photo or I won't believe it. I will not believe it. It's like Capricorn 1. This is Capricorn 1. Okay, if this whole thing is now classified, why was the mission itself not classified? I'll ask that question. If the photo of Osama bin Laden is now classified and it won't be released for 100 years, then why was the entire mission not classified? You're starting to see the egghead academics in charge of this government. You remember I wrote an essay a few weeks ago, The Egghead Academic War? Here is what you have, an egghead academic administration on virtually every level. Let's begin in Florida. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm truly convinced that Barack Obama is surrounded by a bunch of bumblers, and the minute he disposed of that body, he created a controversy that rank right up there with the Kennedy assassination, and we can look forward to thousands of A&E specials about this in the future. I mean, I don't believe anything anymore.
Oh, absolutely. We want the Zagruder photo.
I mean, maybe he's with Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin in Africa, and Jim Morrison.
That's right. He could be with a few other people I can't mention right now. Well, maybe he wasn't there at all. Maybe he's been dead for a number of years.
Absolutely.
Did you ever think, well, what if Osama bin Laden actually died of natural causes 5 years ago, and they needed some kind of victory, so they ginned this whole thing up and said, we killed him, and we dumped him in the sea, and you're never going to see the picture. How would we know whether it's true or false?
Well, it would be despicable, wouldn't it, of the President of the United States to
I don't know. I'd expect anything from Mr. Axelrod or Mr. Rahm Emanuel. Yeah. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Capricorn 1. Capricorn 1, come in. Who was the guy who played in Capricorn 1? A big, tall guy with bushy black hair. Does anyone remember that movie? Remember that? I remember seeing that movie years ago in a theater, which is no longer in business in San Francisco, one some afternoon before I was on the radio, and it was about the moonshot, and the allegation was it never occurred. It was all staged at a NASA lot or a Defense Department lot. Maybe the SEALs never went to Pakistan. Yeah, you want to? I mean, this is going to start flying now. Then what? He's going to produce the photo before the election when he's debating Romney over who is more liberal, Romney or Obama? What a pickle we're in now with this administration. Even the New York Times is saying the same thing. New U.S. account in Bin Laden raid. He was unarmed. Today they thought he was armed. He was almost armed. He had an arm. We didn't know if he had an arm. He almost had an arm. He was asleep. He wasn't asleep. He was watching Oprah. He was watching reruns of Lassie. We didn't know what he was watching. We didn't know if it was him, but he looked like he was tall. He reached for something. It could have been a Kool-Aid. We didn't know what. It was tall. It was cold. It may have been a gun. It could have been an AK-47. It could have been a broomstick. It could have been a mop. We haven't any idea what he was reaching for, but at the end of the day, we're glad we killed him and threw him in the water. This is astounding. All we got left is our humor. Without a sense of humor, we're dead in the water. You need a sense of humor to live. You know, Henry Miller, who was one of my favorite authors, I think I need to reread him again. I'm getting agitated over life again. Henry Miller wrote that it's all a cosmic joke. I'm starting to believe it's all a cosmic joke. The president is certainly a cosmic joke pulled upon the universe. There's no question about it. This is a real herky-jerky game here. What? First the birth certificate game here. Don't have it. Don't have it. Here it is. Goodbye, Donald. Now all of a sudden the midnight raid. The world cheers. Everyone celebrates. The kids are let out of school from Georgetown. The professors probably gave them some ecstasy to go out that night outside the White House and cheer. Probably told them you'll get some free ecstasy. Kids who are normally anti-war, that's what struck me as odd that night. You saw the sex maniacs and the druggies from Georgetown who had nothing better to do but stand in the gutter at 11:30 midnight, Sunday night, screaming and cheering with USA, USA. People who hate America. People who were anti-American, anti-war, anti-military, anti-gun, anti-violence. They were taught not to hit back. Suddenly they're cheering the death of Osama bin Laden. That struck me as odd. Where'd they come from? How'd they learn about it so fast? Who put them out there? The whole thing is Capricorn 1 now. You want me to reconstruct it now? Reconstruct the whole thing was planned. The whole thing was planned now. I'm sorry. Until I see the actual photo, I'm going to assume that he's a liar. Because everything else he's done has been by sleight of hand. Passing Obamacare through sleight of hand. Capricorn 1. Capricorn 1. Star James Brolin and Elliot Gould. Right, Elliot Gould. He was married to Barbara Streisand at the time, Elliot Gould. I actually liked Elliot Gould in a couple of movies. Remember he played like a gangster in Oakland with a drug run from Vietnam? He was very good in it. Capricorn 1 is a 1978 science fiction thriller movie about a Mars landing hoax. Oh! It stars James Brolin, Sam Waterston, and O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson as an astronaut. Well, it stars... Wait a minute. This one, this thriller, stars Barack Hussein Obama as president. The story was inspired by allegations that the Apollo moon landing was a hoax. Oh, this is good. Rasmussen next on A Savage Nation.
Savage.
Savage Nation. Each day it becomes a movable feast with this president. I've never seen anything like it. I mean... Now he's not releasing the photos. And look what just came out. Reuters and AP journalists describe staging of Obama photo taken after TV announcement of bin Laden's death. We'll get to that in a minute. Photo proving bin Laden's death to Senator Brown was fake. Three senators fell for fakes. It's unbelievable to me. This is getting crazier by the minute. Now, you may say, well, what about the ratings? Where are his ratings? Rasmussen says still no bounce for Obama. He joins us now, Scott Rasmussen on the Savage Nation. Mr. Rasmussen, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be with you tonight.
Scott, your poll is showing no bounce at all?
I mean, there's a slight bounce, and there's an increase in enthusiasm for the president among his base. A couple of things that are going on. One, some of the polls that are reporting a big bounce right now are comparing results from today to a month ago. In fact, we track it every single day, and we had recorded that over the week leading up to bin Laden's murder or capture, whatever, killing, that the president had already done some of what is now being called a bin Laden bounce. So he'd already moved up. His numbers are as high.
That's an interesting point. Why was he already moving up slightly over the last month? What had he done that was so good?
I don't know what he had done. Some of it started to move up after after he released his birth certificate.
Did trouncing Trump help him?
It did. A few points. And again, we can't say that was what it was for sure, but that's where the timing took place. So these things before bin Laden was killed, the president's numbers had already moved up. Since then, we've seen only a very slight change. And I got to put this in perspective, though. 86% of Americans approved of the decision. Overwhelmingly, they say it was right to order him killed, not captured. People are happy about this decision, but they're not changing their overall views. And there's a simple reason: the economy is the central issue these days, and the president is still not getting great ratings on the economy. People aren't feeling good about their personal finances.
Well, we know that is true. because I see the questions that the polls that are favorable to Obama are asking, which is all about the bin Laden situation, or what do you think of his, did he do the right thing? But they're not asking a question that would sink him in the polls, which would be, how do you rate him on the price of gasoline, for example?
Well, actually,
If you ask the question, are you happy with the price of gasoline, what kind of answer would you get?
Well, we know that 72% expect that the price of gasoline will top $5 before July 1st. So we know the type of answer we're getting on that. But what I want to correct something you just said. Some of these other polls did ask about the economy. It just hasn't been covered. The CBS New York Times poll that asked all these other questions and has gotten some play, did ask about his ratings on the economy and did find that President Obama's ratings for handling the economy slipped to the lowest level yet measured in that poll.
Oh, but they're not showing those results.
Right.
Okay, so they're showing only the results that they want to show, that he had a huge bump, because they're asking him only about this.
Right.
So the whole thing, as you know better than I do since you're in the statistics business, is based to a large extent upon, A, the questions you ask, the type of people that you poll, but you don't use that kind of skewed data, do you?
No, look, I want to be, with all of these things, the questions that you ask, it's the way you report on them, it's the things that are highlighted. A lot of times polls come out and people just pick at one part of it. They pick it. You could take our poll and say, hey, look, 86% approve of the decision. That's great news for President Obama, and it happens to be. But it doesn't affect his overall approval ratings. And
well, Mr. Rasmussen, with all due respects, I would love for you to ask a poll question very shortly, maybe this week, of do you approve of the president not releasing a photo of Osama bin Laden, or should the president have if I were looking for the right answer, I'd say the president have released a photo of Osama bin Laden's corpse?
Yeah, something will come up on a question like that, and it will be released. And one of the things that we try to do, we don't like to give you hints along the way. You know, some people say, do you favor or oppose this program that would, cost 12 million seniors their lunch or something? You know, we wouldn't do a question like that. We ask what people have already heard about it. So in a case of this, we might ask about the decision on the photo. We have some data coming out tomorrow asking about Pakistan and what they think of that. So, yes, we are covering all of these topics. And, again, I think you've got to – when you take a look at this data, people like to get hung up on one question. The reality is what we are seeing right now is Americans are very proud of the Special Operations Forces. They're very happy that Mr. bin Laden met his demise. But they also recognize that this does not, fundamentally change things. What I've been describing to people is if President Obama is relying on a bounce, he's mistaken. That's not going to get him reelected. But if he were able to translate this and say, hey, this might give us a chance to redo some things in foreign affairs and improve and strengthen our foreign policy, and he built a string of foreign policy successes, that could change it. I would think, for example, Muammar Gaddafi is not sleeping as well these days as he did before last Sunday night. So there you might have some leverage. But that's the kind of sustained policy change that it takes to change public opinion.
You know, a report just came out by Al Tompkins that says, Reuters and AP photojournalist describe staging of Obama photo taken after TV announcement of bin Laden's death. Did you see that one?
I've seen the headline. I've not seen much about it.
I mean, this is utterly unbelievable. When people start to understand that the photograph that appeared in many newspapers Monday morning of Obama speaking may have been a stage shot.
Yeah.
So do you think this will affect the portrayal of the president as a great war leader?
I think, again, people are going to be hung up on these things. And yes, every question that comes out, whether it's changing of the story or questions about the photos or anything else, is going to have an impact. But I also would caution everybody about getting too excited about the potential impact, because in the end, this issue is not going to define the Obama administration. The issue that will define the Obama administration is where we go from here, and primarily with an emphasis on what happens to the economy.
Well, there are previous cases of presidents who got initial bounces from a military action. For example, Ronald Reagan, I believe, was not doing well in the polls. He ordered a strike off the aircraft carriers in the Gulf of Tripoli against Gaddafi. Remember that years and years? And then he got a huge bounce, didn't he?
He did. He got a bounce. But we have even more recent examples. The most recent, President Bush got a big bounce after capturing Saddam Hussein. It lasted about 2 months. The first President Bush got a huge bounce after the first Gulf War. It did not last long enough to win re-election.
Uh-huh. Okay, so these are temporal increases in popularity, very, very temporal.
Yes. You know, we have a president right now who Democrats continue to strongly support. Republicans strongly oppose. That has not changed. There are a group of unaffiliated voters who are uncomfortable with the direction of the nation and with economic policy in the last couple of years. They may be open to changing their mind, but at this point in time, you know, nothing has fundamentally changed their view. So, yes, there may be a blip. It's like when a president gives a speech. For a week or so, you see his numbers go up. And a lot of that is enthusiasm among people in his own party. And then it fades. It gets caught up in the other news stories. We have an unemployment report coming up this week. Mm. It's not going to be anywhere near the news jolt that the bin Laden story was.
So unemployment, economic issues such as unemployment figures and gasoline prices are critical to the popularity or lack thereof of the president.
Especially at this point in time, yes. And let me put the number, if I was picking a single number from polling to follow, it is this. I'd ask people how they rate their own finances. We do it every single night. In the fall of 2008, when Barack Obama was running for president, the night before Lehman Brothers collapsed, 43% of Americans said that their own finances were in good or excellent shape. Mm. By the time President Obama was inaugurated, that had already fallen to 35%. People wanted him to reverse that trend. Well, today, it's more than 2 years later, the number who say their finances are in good or excellent shape has fallen further. It's down to 31%. If that number does not turn around, we can talk all we want about temporary bounces. The president will have a hard time getting reelected. If it does turn around, well, then his prospects get brighter.
But here's the interesting part. But what's on the Republican side, meaning who in the heck is left who can offer a better economic tomorrow for America?
There's two questions in there. Number one is, what is the best electoral strategy for Republicans? And the second one is, you know, what happens after they're in office? From an electoral point of view, the best Republican candidate will be one who can point the spotlight at Mr. Obama and say this is a referendum on the current administration. And that would certainly be the strongest chance of winning. You'd want a candidate in that case who's not going to have a number of side issues, who can be disciplined on message and things. But the candidate who can do that might not be the candidate who can change things around, you know, once they take office. And that's a question that's wide open. I do not believe that we have any idea who the Republican nominee will be at this time. There is a very good chance it will not be any of the current front runners. I believe somebody could enter the race as late as Thanksgiving or into early December, after they see what else has transpired.
Unbelievable. So there could be a dark horse that comes out of who comes out of nowhere.
That's right. You know, look at the polls right now. You know, we show in our polls and everybody else shows people like Palin and Huckabee and Trump getting half the vote. And we do not know if those people are running or if they're serious. Now, you know, Governor Huckabee indicates very strongly that he has not decided to rule out a race, that he is considering it. Sarah Palin has not made any kind of comments along those lines. And Donald Trump, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But if those people are not a part of this race, then you have half the voters looking for a candidate.
Yeah, okay. The man on the white horse is waiting to ride from behind stage right. Scott Rasmussen. No, look, I look at your polls all the time because I find them to be the most statistically viable, not only because you give the results that I'm looking for politically, which you do, because I think they more accurately reflect the American electorate than do some of the biased polls. I mean, the New York Times, CBS polls are all biased. So I really love the Rasmussen polls, and I really laud you for doing very good statistical work.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much for being with us on the Savage Nation. This just came to me from a friend who has a powerful website who I will not mention. You're not going to believe this. The head of the CIA admitted that there was no live video footage of the raid on OBL's compound as further doubts emerged about the U.S. version of events. Shall I repeat that? Remember we were told it was video and photographs? Now the Obama bunglers are saying you're not going to see the picture? Now they're saying there are no pictures. That there may be stills, you'll not see them, but there was no video. Leon Panetta, director of CIA, revealed there was a 25-minute blackout during which the live feed from cameras mounted on the helmets of the U.S. Special Forces was cut off. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Who would have cut them off? Now they're saying there's no videotape of it? A photo yesterday showed the president and his aides in the Situation Room watching the action as it unfolded. Remember the one of Obama in the little chair on the right? Like they let him come in from the golf game to see what the adults were doing? It says, in fact, they had little knowledge of what was happening in the compound. It looked like a staged picture. I'm sorry, it's Capricorn 1 again. I'll be right back.
Savvy.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm suffering as usual, not solely because of the torture coming out of the White House. The torturous deceit, and I never saw anything like it. First, he had a gun. He didn't have a gun. They shot the wife in the foot. It wasn't his wife. You don't know who it was. And an ice cream man is found dead with a water gun. And the SEALs thought he was reaching for an AK-47, but it turned out to be a water gun. There's a video of him being given a burial with a pine cones around him on a mountaintop. I mean, at sea. It wasn't really buried. He was buried. It wasn't a Muslim burial. It wasn't an Islamic burial. There was no imam. There was an official who knew the proper, put him off, and everyone saw it on the Carl Vinson, but they've all been sworn to silence if anyone talk. Ooh. Now we found out there is no video. Then we find out that the helmet cameras went off for 25 seconds during the actual raid. Capricorn 1. I'm starting to think maybe that they should release O.J. Simpson from prison for a cameo appearance in the new Osama bin Laden's president, because they changed the rules in 2012 and you can run for the presidency for life. And that it's the year 2031 and Obama's still president. And I think that would be nice. And they can go back and say, yes, the turning point for us was the staged raid in wherever that was. What was that country called? Waziris? We don't even remember anymore. It's no longer there. It went out of business. It went out of business. It was incorporated under a new name. It's called Indiastan. I'm suffering also because it's 86 degrees in San Francisco, which I hate. I hate the heat. I hate it. I can't stand it. I can't stand people who say to me, I hope you're enjoying the good weather. What do you think I live here for, idiot? If I liked such good weather, I'd live in L.A. or Mexico. I don't like global warming. It's horrible here. Disgusting. No wind. Let's see. There's a cooling trend coming. And by the weekend, I'll be able to sleep again. The fog will come. And thank God the tourists can start knocking their knees together again, wearing their shorts. What are they coming here for sun for? What idiot comes to San Francisco for good weather? In tonight's sky, the first razor-thin crescent moon of the current lunar cycle is visible tonight. Look very low in the west-northwest just after sunset. Then don't miss the ring planet Saturn, high in the southeast. Yeah. You know, an audience is like the ad for... You've seen that ad for Dos Equis? It's really very funny. Now, like, there's a brand that can never come back. That beer, as far as I'm concerned, is the worst beer ever made. It tastes like a combination of caramel coloring and carbonation. But they have a whole series of ads where there's like this supposedly suave older guy with like gray hair who drinks Dos Equis and he gets all these young babes. So the latest ad is very funny. It says, approach strange women as you would a wild animal. Cautiously and speak quietly. I had a laugh at that. I will not drink the beer, though. Whoever wrote that stuff is good. That's good copy. I don't care what they do. Certain beer is undrinkable. What was that beer that was... Wasn't that big in the Philippines? Was that the beer... No, what was that? What was the one that was big in the 70s? It was a big beer in the 70s that was from the Philippines. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You guys know? I don't drink anything but German beer. Bavarian beer is all I drink. They know their beer. They know their beer. 86 degrees, you could die. I went out before the show. I'll talk about Osama bin Laden. Leave me alone for a minute. I go out before the show. Down on the waterfront, they have the most incredible renovation of the city ever in the ferry terminal. It's like Pike Street Market in Seattle, but better. So it's got all these like specialty shops, a bakery and a butcher shop, salted pig parts, which for reasons I will not explain, I enjoy going past because there's a certain segment of the population that is not there. I tend to gravitate toward the salted pig parts stand. And I don't eat the stuff, but it's very curious to see a certain segment of America not around. So they got the coffee shops and the bakeries. I go to one bakery that has all sorts of breads. And I wait in line. I get an onion bread, which I love. I go to a place for a coffee. I'm not going to belabor this because the other one was crowded, like the regular one. It's like a lineup, like a giving away gold for a coffee. So I go to this place. The prices are off the charts, $4.50 for a macchiato, $9.62 for a double macchiato, half espresso with milk from a camel that came from Saudi Arabia and was a bread on a mountaintop above, you know, crazy stuff. So I order, just give me a black coffee, very nice, $3, here's the money. They take the money, it's drip, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting 5 minutes, the line still, and no coffee. And it's sitting there and it's dripping. There's 10 cups lined up dripping. I try not to be a New Yorker. I've lived here for my whole life, for 30 years. I'm shutting my mouth. I don't say anything. I said, be polite. You live in San Francisco. Don't scare them. They get scared if you raise your voice to them. 10 minutes later, there's no coffee. So I opened my big mouth. I said, where the hell is my coffee? I paid you 10 minutes ago. I got to go back to work. All of a sudden, they almost called the police.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So the story keeps shifting. As you know, the president's kind of shifty. He shifted around on Obamacare. He shifted around on unemployment figures. There's nothing that the president does that isn't shifty. And now even the New York Times is saying his storyline doesn't make sense with regard to the Osama bin Laden assassination, if that's what it was, execution. He certainly wasn't captured and brought back to justice. Liberals say that they're against targeted killings, da-da-da-da-da. Now, he was unarmed. Now he was armed. SEALs thought he was armed. Now, there was no videotape. Yesterday, there was a videotape. Now, we're told the cameras were turned off on the SEALs' helmets during the raid, and that the still picture will still not be released. It's going to be danced around like the birth certificate for a while by this administration, which likes to, frankly, torture the American people. You know, this is really starting to get me very agitated that a president would play with the American psyche like this. He really is deceitful to do this to us. You know, there's enough doubts about him to begin with. Now he's got to do this to us? They think that you're an idiot. They think that you're basically peons, that you'll take any amount of abuse. So we can just call it a cosmic joke. Each day is a movable feast with Barack Hussein Obama. It really is. You salute him one day, the next day you start to doubt him. Where's the evidence? There is no evidence. Where's the evidence? Listen to clip 6 now of the bumbler, Jay Carney. 6.
Director Panetta, in one of the interviews he did yesterday, said, the government obviously has been talking about how best to do this, but I don't think there was any question that ultimately a photograph would be presented to the public.
Well,
how do you explain
that? What I would say is that there are compelling arguments for, in general, the release of information. And you know, there's a discussion to be had about the pros and cons. The fact of the matter is the president never gets to make a decision that's 100% obvious, because those kind of decisions never get to his desk.
Do you know what the man just said? The president never gets to make a decision that is 100% obvious? It's grammatically incorrect. He would be flunked if he was a seventh grader. How can a decision be obvious or not obvious? What does that mean? They don't work together, those two words. Either a decision is, well, okay, let's just stop already. The whole thing's crazy. We're used to tricks from him. It's like the trickster, the merry trickster. Obama, the merry trickster. Do you believe, I'm not going to ask you a dumb question. I'm going to take your calls. Sue in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Actually, it's Sue in New Hampshire. And
okay.
Thank God for your voice, because you're the only one that could assuage me today. I am so angry and so upset and so sick of being lied to. How stupid do they really think that we are to have to put this crap out? I hope I can say that on the radio, but I mean, it is so obvious that everything that is being foisted upon us by this government is an absolute lie. You know what I think? I think maybe it's so that when we have the next attack on us, which they're warning us we're going to get, then the regime can say, oh, well, we killed Osama, so we can't blame them for this counterattack, can we?
I don't know anymore. It's hard to figure out what they're doing. I don't think that they know who's in charge. I don't think there's any one person in charge. It's obvious that, the storyline is that there's a fight going on, a power struggle. I don't know if that's true. They're playing good cop, bad cop. We're supposed to take sides and say, I liked it. Panetta wanted to release the photo. The other side says, no, I liked it. The other side doesn't want to release the photo because they're more liberal and more humane. They don't want to glorify the death of the enemy. So we're supposed to choose sides. It's all a game.
Right.
However, all I can say is this, from great support on the night of the announcement to a lack of credibility 2 days later is what they got as a result. And I'm not the only one in America stating this. Anybody with a rational mind who was taught to think for themselves is thinking already, wait a minute, the whole story stinks. That's all. I mean, either you were taught to think for yourself or you weren't. And if you think for yourself, you are a skeptic. And if you're a skeptic of a government, as every person should be, because governments are not your friend. No government is your friend. The most power-mad people on earth go into government, by and large. Power-mad individuals go into government. People love to lord it over others, to sit on high and declare life and death decisions on others. It's not for me. Never wanted to do that with anybody. Don't like it. I don't even like employees. I don't like to work with anybody. But I understand there are people who like to boss others around. And the people who have it the worst want to become politicians. And so therefore, they're not your friend. And our system of government was designed to rein in the pathological, the most pathological amongst the power mad, called those in government. Given that the human condition is such that there will be power mad people ascending to power, the geniuses who created our form of government knew that the best way to control them was with a divided government. Okay? A divided government. A House of Representatives, etc. A Senate. And then you have a divided representative, then you have divided Senate, then you have a presidency, then you have a Supreme Court, the judicial. They're supposed to be opposing each other. Only in a dictatorship do they all work together seamlessly. Only in a dictatorship is there no division. Do you know that? Where have you come under Obama? Anyone who didn't agree with him was suddenly a bad American? No, it's the mark of a good American to be skeptical of a government, particularly when you got such doubtful material emanating from the highest places. They've changed their story over and over again. It does not engender confidence. Not in me. Maybe it does in you. Is there anyone listening to this show who suddenly eats all this up and says, yes, he's a great war leader. Yes, he's a great commander-in-chief. Yes, he showed great resolve. Thank God he did it. Oh, I'm proud to be a liberal now. I believe in targeted executions. I believe in the use of guns. It's all crazy. The whole thing's crazy. And that's why I have to go back to literature and say to you that Henry Miller's statement that it's a cosmic joke, all of life is a cosmic joke, whether it's waiting for coffee for 15 minutes in San Francisco till the darling liberals get through brewing it for you. They think you have nothing to do but stand around and wait for a brewed coffee. What'd I go there for? I wanted a coffee and to go back to the radio station. 10 minutes, 12 minutes in a line like they're giving away gold for nothing. All of the precious children from the University of California at Santa Cruz who can't get a job, they're barristers now. That's their prize. They started out as artists. Now they're brewing coffee. It's a cosmic joke. The whole thing is a cosmic joke. $12 for a cocktail is a cosmic joke. Bad Chinese food is a cosmic joke. Ersatz Italian food with Mexican spices on it is a cosmic joke. 86-degree weather in San Francisco is a cosmic joke. The lack of a mayor in San Francisco is a cosmic joke. Let's go down the list. Everything's a cosmic joke, except me. I'm the only non-cosmic joke. I know I'm real, because if I step on a nail, it hurts like hell. If I lose a tooth, it's painful. When I get a headache, I know it's real. Tucson Rose, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I totally agree with you, and what's not real is this phony president and the mixed messages and stories that we're getting all the time from the so-called...
This man is so inexperienced, even in his ability to fake it. He can't even fake it right.
True.
I mean, what else can you say about him? I don't want to get vitriolic about him. This administration is so amateurish, it can't even get its lie straight.
Well, initially you gave him respect and you were...
Yes, I did. I said, salute Obama for a job well done. But as this has gone on 2-3 days later, anyone with a rational mind would start asking questions. There was a picture, there's no picture. He had a gun, he didn't have a gun. He was armed, he wasn't armed. He was in a mansion, then he was in a blockhouse compound. They didn't know where he was, now they knew where he was for 6 years.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think he wants to make Americans crazy. I think he wants to upset America. He's creating a crisis of confidence just according to the Alinsky playbook. And he's going to exploit this crisis of confidence as sure as I'm sitting here. Except I don't know what he's going to do with it. Rahm Emanuel is busy running Chicago. You'll have to ask him. What would you like to talk about? It's your show. Let's go across America. Any topic is fair game. But mainly the only thing you want to talk about is this. I don't blame you. I thought it would be over by now. I thought it would be over by now. Friend of mine, Peter, says, I wonder if what's going on is a high-level PSYOP variant of cognitive dissonance, meaning they're purposely jamming your brain. Obama and his minions may be purposely trying to wreck your mind so that you don't know what's real or false anymore. Therefore, he can tell you anything. If he keeps this up, then he can sell you anything and tell you it's good for you. Like we knew Obamacare was a disaster and a bust. Okay, we knew that it was a scam, a gigantic socialist scam. But he tried to tell you it was for the betterment of humanity. We knew it wasn't. It was a giant scam. 1,000 individuals and corporations were allowed out of Obamacare. That's how good it was. Why did they shoot him when he was unarmed? Why didn't they bring him back alive? Let's start with the basics, okay? All you good liberals out there who don't believe in hitting and violence and guns. Why are you celebrating the death of an unarmed man? I'll be right back.
Savage.
When that assaulter entered the room, you said he was rushed by the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably that's Bin Laden's wife?
No.
Okay.
Bin Laden's wife was on the first floor.
And she was shot in the leg.
Correct.
Okay, then on the second or third.
Yes. Let me stop.
Because the narrative, there was a discrepancy. Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Even I'm getting confused. In the room with Bin Laden was Bin Laden's wife. She rushed one of the U.S. assaulters and was shot in the leg but not killed. A woman on the first floor was killed in the crossfire.
Uh-huh. And who was the ice cream man with the green water gun, Mr. Carney? You'll have to explain that tomorrow. So we the people are saying it's a gigantic cosmic joke from a trickster president and a trickster administration. That's 2 days after the balloons and the rockets going off and the rockets' red glare and us all cheering Obama as the greatest war leader since George Washington. Now we're not even sure if Bin Laden was there. That's what's happened in 48 hours because we don't know what to believe anymore. And I think that may be purposeful on the part of this administration. I think that they want us to be confused and they want to continue the confusion so that they can continue to play games with our heads, you know? 1-800-449-8255. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? Virginia, Christie, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I look at it as there are one or two choices, right? The first choice is, like, what your other callers had been saying about that he's so far detached from the American mentality that he really thinks we're going to believe him. The other train of thought is that he himself is so far detached from reality that, you know, look at the ease with which he was elected. Maybe he thinks that we really are this stupid, that he can keep saying the things that he's saying, and if he got into office so easily the first time, I can say whatever I want, and they'll put me in again.
Well, I don't know what to think. All I know is that Michelle Obama continuing to talk about growing vegetables in a victory garden while knocking down ribs and heavy meals is another example of this kind of absurdity. I mean, does she not think people don't know what she's eating while telling us to eat carrots? She's eating short ribs every time she goes out, or a cheeseburger and fries?
Well, they got to have a good memory. If you're going to keep weaving these web of lies, you better have a good memory because we are sick to death of it.
No. Well, here's the problem. Those of us who didn't like Obama from day one because we knew that the man was associated with terrorists, we knew he hung around with Reverend Wright. Let's go down the list all over again another time. Have distrusted him from day one because of his associations, and rightly so. The slavish worshippers of Marxism, liberalism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, will never find fault with him. Just as there were Bush bots who refused to ever doubt anything George Bush did, there are Obama bots. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now let's listen to Michelle Obama dancing in clip 25. This is important. Michelle Obama doing the doogie dance. High knees, high knees, high knees. Teach me how to doogie. Teach me how to doogie. See, this is the White House. This is the new America. Get used to it. Isn't it wonderful how elevated the White House has become under the Obamas? It's really a high level. It's really a high level White House. It really is amazing. So, what do you want to talk about? Atlanta, Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, back during the Iranian crisis and the failed rescue attempt for the hostages, there was one story. There was never a revision. Within 2 days, all the country knew exactly what was going on.
You're talking about what? Carter's bungling?
Yes, the failed rescue attempt at the Iranian hostages.
But you're saying everybody knew that it failed.
Yeah, I know, but there was never a revision of any piece of it down the line is what I'm saying.
You mean even the Carter administration didn't try to hide what went wrong?
Exactly. If something did go right, I mean, some guys did get out of there alive, but there was never a revision from the government like the revisions we've had with the bin Laden.
Right, so why do you think the Obama administration can lie nakedly like this and think they're getting away with it? Who do they think they're fooling?
I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, they're not fooling the press. The liberal press is not being fooled. I was shocked today as I went for that coffee and sat there for 10 minutes. I picked up a paper they left. The guy before me probably fainted waiting for the coffee. He left the Times and it says, new U.S. account in Bin Laden raid, he was unarmed. Confusion after chaotic scenes. So even the New York Times is already acting a little skeptical, which is the job of a reporter. By the way, let's not forget that that's the job of any reporter, is to be skeptical of a government. If you're not skeptical, you shouldn't be in the news business. But nevertheless, even the liberal press is skeptical of the stories because they're changing so much.
Yeah. And I agree with you that, you know, as long as he keeps fooling us, he's just going to keep trying to fool us all the time.
Capricorn 1, 31, where he's been president for life, and the president continues to have games with the American people because he has had life given to him on a silver platter. Fantasy. After all, I'm a novelist. I'm not a talk show host.
Savage.
Yes, yes, yes. Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson to cheer me up. If I'm feeling good, you're feeling good. If I'm feeling bad, you're feeling bad. Come on, guys, give me a little music, like, because it's so hot here, I can't stand it. I'm suffocating. I'm thinking of Julie Christie and Dr. Zhivago every time I hear this. With the Reds chasing me on the sled out to the Dacha. Having a fantasy now about Sacha Baron Cohen playing Osama bin Laden in the final showdown with the SEALs. And O.J. Simpson could... I'm having this whole, like, you know, because it's all a cosmic joke, right? His president is a joke. He gives us a movable feast every day. It's becoming Capricorn 1. So maybe there'll be a resurrection. No, Easter passed already. If the resurrection lasts more than 4 hours, call a doctor. Mississippi Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. I just want to say, I don't know why anybody hadn't brought this up. It's a possibility. I do believe our guys went in there. I do know something, you know, had to happen there because I used to work helicopters for a number of years, and I, you know,
okay.
Thought it was a helicopter.
All right, so there was a mission. I don't doubt that.
What I'm saying is, I think they're spinning this the way they're doing it with no photos is because our guys went in. Osama knew by that time the jig was up. He knew his guys couldn't go up against our SEALs, okay? The man said years ago that he never went anywhere, or they reported he never went anywhere without an explosive vest on or with him or near him.
Hmm.
I think the guys, when they got through the first floor, the second floor, whatever floor they were on, when they got to where he was, he said, okay, that's it. They're not taking me alive. Boom. Okay, that might explain why the cameras...
Well, it might explain also why there were no guards. The government's reporting that he had no bodyguards. How's that possible when any Hollywood harlot is surrounded by three bodyguards? How could the world's most wanted terrorist not have bodyguards?
That's strange in itself, but... Maybe he just planned to go out that way, and they're not taking me alive kind of mentality.
So in other words, death by SEAL.
We got him either way you look at it.
Death by SEAL.
We forced him to a suicide, or we popped him twice.
Why did they dispose of the corpse right away and not send out pictures? Now they're saying there's no videotape of the actual raid. The photo in the war room of the White House put out the day of the announcement made it look like Obama was sitting there and Hillary was there and they were actually orchestrating the raid while it was going on.
Yeah, it looked that way. And maybe they were looking at the point where he blew himself up, too. You know, Hillary's got her hand over her mouth like, oh, my God, type thing.
Yeah, she looked like the most serious of the bunch, incidentally. Like, she really was in charge, you know, to me. But I don't know, what were they looking at?
They were probably looking at the point where they went into his room. I don't know. But it just...
What if somebody slipped the White House tape? What if somebody shifted tapes around at that moment and accidentally shifted a picture of Bill Clinton in the pantry with Monica Lewinsky? I'm joking. Come on, you got to have a sense of humor. No, if you don't have a sense of humor, you're finished in this country. You can't get up in the morning.
That's true.
So, you know, as long as we can keep laughing about it, I suppose we're all okay. All right, next caller, South Dakota. Brian, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, I believe he's ready to die, too. I believe that he thought to himself that he was more important dead than he would be alive. It's just a matter of time. I think that's why he wasn't armed. Why would
he
be armed?
He was not armed, and he had no bodyguards. Maybe he decided to tell his – maybe he was tipped – by Pakistani intelligence, saying it's time, they're here, they're coming, and he sent his loyal guards away so they didn't get wasted.
Of course, I mean...
And the only guy killed was the ice cream man with the green water gun.
You know, yeah, I mean...
Have you seen that picture that we got up on michaelsavage.com of the poor man whose head, brains are blown out, and there's looks like a green water gun under his right shoulder?
Well, maybe when the helicopter hit the roof, he gave his kid the last hug, he stood there like a target... He took the shot. His wife freaked out. The Navy SEAL shot her, too. And that's that. Over and
done. But wait, who is the ice cream man whose brains are all over the floor with the green water gun? Who is he?
The guy was in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
He was there what? He was delivering ice cream from a cart and he got wasted? Or he was just playing with the kids. He was like a tutor and they shot him, too?
If you're there, you're a target, too.
Oh, God. You think we'll ever know? We'll never know. This is already now the Zagruda tape. This is going to go on now forever. Where is that? Who's the filmmaker, the crazy one? He'll do this one, but he'll make it. Who? No, not Fatso. The nut. The left-wing nut. The manic depressive nut. You know who I mean. He always does anti-American movies. He's a good filmmaker, but I don't remember his name. A whack job. but a very good filmmaker, like most artists. Oliver Stoner. He could use Sacha Baron Cohen as Osama. He could turn it into sort of a musical comedy. Actually, Sacha Baron Cohen could have a revival if he did Osama the Musical. He's crazy enough to... God. Osama the Last Moments, a musical comedy by Sacha Baron Cohen. I think it would be a hell of a... No, that would be a hoot. I'd go to that one. I would go to a movie theater for the first time in 20 years. I'd risk a virus and a perfume attack. New York City, WOR, Victor, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Michael? I just want to just add my two cents. I'm a New York City police officer. I am disgusted that we cannot throw the political correctness out the window with this picture farce that's going on.
Yeah.
Okay? When 3,000 people were killed in that World Trade Center, and those pictures and images were all over the papers,
right,
over TV.
I saw the people jumping out of the windows, and we saw pictures initially of them hitting the ground and bursting like watermelons.
Exactly. I was there. I saw the bodies. And they showed the pictures. And you see these people celebrating over there in Pakistan and Afghanistan, okay? And all of a sudden, we have to have this political correctness. We're afraid of retaliation. You killed a guy, supposedly. Show the nation. Show the justice that was done, okay? Show these poor families.
Look, I have nothing but respect for the street cop in this country, whether it's New York or Duluth. It doesn't matter to me. It's the toughest job on earth, given the constraints that you people operate under. I understand your anguish. But we the people who are not the wolfhounds, you guys are the wolfhounds, you're the ones who chase the wolves away from us, we're the sheeple. All the rest of us, no matter how tough we think we are, just sheep compared to you guys. But the fact is, why is Obama playing us like suckers?
Why? Look at the administration. It's a disgrace. Okay, this whole thing is a disgrace. Like you said, he's got a gun. He doesn't have a gun. He's threatening matter. He's not threatening matter. Who's there? What, DNA? The burial? There's pieces all over the place, and the questions keep coming.
Well, how does he think he's going to get away with this when this has turned viral 48 hours later into a comedy of errors and of lies?
I have no idea. I don't know. But it's a joke. And he's making...
Yeah, this just came out. White House clams up. No further details of raid.
Of course not. So we the Americans, we the people who were down at Ground Zero, who saw those bodies coming out of the windows, saw all the body parts, all these poor families that are missing people that aren't identified, don't you think he's going to go down to Ground Zero tomorrow, lay the wreath, and meet the families? Don't you think he owes it to these families to show justice was done? This is the monster that did it to your husband, your son, your daughter, your loved one. Show his head was split open with the gun. Who cares with the bullet? They showed Carmine Galante in the front page of the Post when he was blown away, the mob rub out, right? That was okay? With the cigar hanging out of his mouth?
Oh, yeah, that photo. Remember, right.
That was all over the paper. That's okay.
But that was in another age of America when we lived in a more graphic real time. Now only pornography is permitted to be shown, not reality. The only reality that's allowed to be shown is pornography in the new liberal America. Anything else is considered a pornographic.
You can't show this monster who...
Now, why did President Bush decline an invitation to be a Ground Zero with Obama? He wouldn't go. Clinton won't go because they know that the man is grandstanding and it's an embarrassment, frankly.
You think Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Senior and Junior would put the nation through this? Of course they wouldn't.
No, but why would this imposter president have the audacity of dope to go there tomorrow and capitalize on Ground Zero like this?
Where was he all the other years? Where was he?
Well, it's the audacity of dope. That's all I can say.
Disgusting, and it's just embarrassing. It's really embarrassing.
Well, maybe he'll be jeered tomorrow at Ground Zero. Maybe some people will boo him.
It's an injustice to the people who lost loved ones both here in Washington.
No, I hear the anger in your voice because you actually saw the people go out the windows. Victor, God bless you for the service you provide for the people of the city of New York and the nation. Let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. It's all I've got to give. As a writer and a broadcaster, I have only one gift to give, and that's a book. So what do you want to talk about? You think we've touched it all? Carney, Osama bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. Bush not going to the 9/11 ceremony. Harry Reid says enough. Harry Reid says nothing. David, what does Leprechaun to say about this? Does Leprechaun have any news about this on his show, the Leprechaun? He will definitely support Obama because Leprechaun's middle of the road. Now Panetta says video blackout of 20 to 25 minutes occurred during the operation. Yesterday they had a videotape. They don't have video. Last night they had no videotape. They turned off the cameras. Why do you think they turned off the cameras now? CIA Director Leon Panetta, 25-minute blackout. Why? You want to use common sense, or do you want to just eat the government line? And once those teams went into the compound, I can tell you that there was a time period of almost 20, 25 minutes where we really didn't know just exactly what was going on. CIA Director Leon Panetta told PBS's NewsHour program last night. Why? Why would they direct them to turn off the cameras? Maybe they didn't want anyone to ever have a record of what really went on? See, again, more doubts. This is something that only Oliver Stone could do, but he won't do it because he's such a liberal wacko that he'll only try to make it look like Obama's a hero rather than Obama's an imposter. See, if Oliver Stone was a genuine director who was seeking the truth and an entertainment vehicle, he could do a great movie about this. But he's only going to put out a double talk movie that no one will go to again. That's why he's alone on New Year's Day calling friends crying, why am I alone even though I'm famous, I would imagine. I would imagine that's why guys like him are alone crying on New Year's Eve. Why am I alone? Why does nobody love me? Why do I have no parties to go to? I'm so famous and rich. Why am I alone? I'm guessing. I'm a fantasist. Don't take me seriously. I'm not as intelligent as people on NBC, CBS, or PBS. Think of me as a novelist from now on. I create fiction. Everything I say is simply fiction. The really reliable sources are to be found on MSNBC. NBC. There's where you go for the real McCoy. No, this is all fantasy. Whatever I say is pure fantasy. Don't take me seriously. No, I'm telling you, don't take me seriously. You got to trust the people on PBS. That's your real source of truth. Sacramento, Steve, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I think they're trying to cover up him being executed. You know, the first thing they heard, we took two bullets to the side of the head. And, you know, and if it comes out he was executed, then they'd have to prosecute these SEALs. And if they prosecuted the SEALs, no way Obama gets reelected. The guy sitting in Leavenworth, you know, would have to be released. Any soldier.
Actually, they could prosecute Obama for ordering the hit.
Bin Laden. They'd have to
actually, by the rules of the International Criminal Court, the leader of the mission would go to the International Criminal Court, and that would be the president, not the SEALs.
No. I'm saying Bin Laden would have to be prosecuted if they took him alive. So they executed him.
I hear you, but I'm saying something else. If it was shown that he was unarmed and executed, who would go before the world court for committing an atrocity?
Well, the SEALs.
No. The leader of the SEALs is who? The commander-in-chief.
Yeah, what about the guy sitting in Leavenworth? The same thing happened to him. He executed his prisoner. He goes to prosecute it. I mean, the eyes of justice is, you know, been laden.
In other words, the man I've been trying to support with money and fundraising, one of our great U.S. Rangers rotting away in Fort Leavenworth because he executed a prisoner who was trying to escape.
Yeah.
But here we have, a situation where they killed an unarmed terrorist, but by international rules, you're not supposed to do that.
Right, so I think that they executed him. I mean, look, when they storm his room, they're going to throw the grenades in, there's going to be smoke. How do you take two bullets to the side of the head, you know, when he's supposedly going to defend himself? You know, you take two bullets in the front of the head.
Well, theoretically, that's absolutely possible. With night vision goggles, you can see through the smoke grenades, number one. And they're trained so well that they can do a double tap to the head, even in such a situation. That's what they're trained for. So that's not an issue whatsoever. But first he had no gun, then he reached for a gun, then he didn't reach for a gun, then he might have had a gun, then he didn't have a gun. Okay, so here we go again. Where's the Zagruda tape? Capricorn 1. Salt Lake City, Gabrielle, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I was just going to say, you asked why they shot an unarmed man. Bin Laden was armed, locked, and loaded. He opens his mouth, and thousands die. And all I can say is thank you.
Wait. I missed something. You know for a fact he had a gun?
I don't care. No, I'm saying the man is a walking weapon. He opens his mouth, and thousands die.
Oh, no, I have no sympathy for him. You're not getting, you're incorrectly, you're hearing me incorrectly. The story coming out of the White House was first he was armed, then he wasn't armed. Now it was the SEALs thought he was armed. So what was it? What's the truth?
But I think it's immaterial. That man is armed.
Well, it's quite material for a liberal administration which espouses liberalism as their credo, where you don't shoot terrorists, you bring them to justice. Didn't him and Eric Holder fight to bring some terrorists to New York City for a trial? People we know were responsible for the death of thousands?
Yep.
But
all right, there you go. I'll be right back. Savage. Let me give an example of what's going on. A Picasso portrait of his mistress sold for $21 million at a New York auction today. Pablo Picasso's rainbow-hued double portrait, Women Reading, sold for $21 million. In the 1934 painting, I don't have to spell it out, but, you know, he was a painter. He didn't paint reality. He painted a different form of reality. He painted a perception of reality that was his perception of reality, and he did very well with it. So Obama is painting his perception of reality upon the geographical landscape of our minds, and some of us are buying the modern art of his interpretation of reality, and most of us are saying we prefer something more realistic, if you don't mind. Albany, New York, Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, this administration lives in a world where their perception is the only reality. They go out and say whatever they want to say. Their stooges in the media toe the line and say it also. And that
is that because
true.
Obama has gotten away with fibbing his entire life?
Well, what I know of him, his political life, that's all he's done. He's lost his credibility with the average American person. When you go out and you talk about being fiscally responsible 2 days after you sign a $1 trillion stimulus package, people start to say, wait a second, what's this guy all about?
Yep, you can fool some of the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time, said Abe Lincoln. And I think he was thinking of a future Obama.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's it. So some people will be fooled and gold no matter what he does. If you believe Obama's story about the raid, then you're in the first category of those who can be fooled all of the time. Abe Lincoln said it. You can fool some of the people all of the time, so you're the one-third who can be fooled all of the time. You're the useful idiot. Then there's a group that can be fooled some of the time. Then there's another group that can't be fooled all of the time. That's us. Okay, end of story. What else do you want to say about it? So Russian bidders were the big ones here. Picasso, $21.3 million for a picture. It fell short of the expected price of between $25 and $35 million for the auction to show you what the disconnect between you and others on the earth. $21 million. Russian bidders in particular seem to bid heavily and win works by Salvador Dali, Alberto Giacometti. See, you didn't think I knew how to say Giacometti. You thought I was a rube, huh? I actually studied Giacometti. So the Ruskies like Giacometti. I don't blame them. They have good taste. And then there's a Cubist scene that called the rugby players. Drew at least six bidders, mostly Euros, bidding over the telephone, and the winner got it for $2.5 million. All right, good for them. You got the money, spend it. It's your business. Didn't take it from me. So what, you have a party and you show the painting? Yeah, look at the painting. Yeah, that's a Picasso. Yeah, there's a Giacometti sculpture over there, the little pencil men walking around. Oh, yeah, we burn money with cigars here. That's another way to live. You can do it. The Romanovs are back. The Romanov dynasty is back again. And here in America, we have a tremendously honest president who makes it up as he goes along, as he has apparently been doing most of his adult life, in my opinion. But then again, don't take my opinion as the gold standard or the platinum standard. I'm only a novelist who happens to have a talk show. We're shifting the frame and set of the show now. You're listening to novelist Michael Savage, who also has a talk show.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now,
here are the questions we've been talking about in the Savage Nation. Obama has declared he will not release the death pictures of Osama bin Laden. There has been a picture released, sold to Reuters by a government official, a couple of pictures. They allegedly show the bodies of three dead men in the compound where Osama bin Laden was allegedly killed. But the photos, while being very graphic, strangely, there appears to be a green water pistol behind the right shoulder of one of the bodies. And frankly, the body, which is dressed in white, looks more like an ice cream salesman than that of a guard for the world's most notorious terrorist. This doesn't make sense to me. Do these photos seem suspicious to you? What's with the water gun? And if the government actually released these photos, why didn't they release the actual pictures of Osama bin Laden? I mean, this is going to become like the Zagruder photo of the JFK. You know, I mean, the whole thing's starting to look crazy. Why do you think Obama's refusing to release these pictures? Well, CIA Chief Panetta has said that the photos would be released. Why hasn't the Obama administration been able to get its story straight on the death photos or any other aspect of this raid? It keeps changing. Even the New York Times says, new U.S. account in bin Laden raid. He was unarmed. Haste to report the public led to errors and confusion after chaotic scene. What does that mean? What is this, like another Jimmy Carter in the desert with planes crashing into each other? Do you think the administration has acted responsibly in disseminating information on the assassination of Osama bin Laden? Reportedly, Defense Secretary Gates and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton opposed releasing the photos, while the CIA Director Panetta seems to have been in favor of it. What does this tell us about the power struggles going on within the administration? For me, Panetta's actions improve my opinion of him. He seems to be the hawk. We're asking whether Obama will receive any lasting political benefit from the death of bin Laden. I'm not so sure today, given the confusion and the disagreements that are coming out. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what's on my website. On the top left is a very graphic photo of a man with his brains blown out. It says the unidentified body of a man is seen after a raid by U.S. Navy SEAL commandos in the compound where bin Laden was killed. If you look carefully, over behind his right shoulder is a green water pistol. I mean, I have read never bring a water pistol to a fight with a SEAL, but the man is dead. His brains are all over the floor. Who was he? Was he just a teacher playing with the children? Was he an ice cream salesman caught in the gunfire? The slippery story of bin Laden kill from the Atlantic. Read it. The disagreements and tension in the White House as SEALs closed in. From the London Daily Mail. Yeah, okay. Bin Laden had cash and phone numbers hidden in his clothing. He was prepared to escape the compound at extremely short notice. Neighborhood kids had suspicions about bin Laden's hideout. For years they knew somebody lived in there who they weren't supposed to know about. Bin Laden's sea burial fuels conspiracy theory, says the LA Times. Jerusalem Imam calls Obama a dog and says Obama will hang with Bush Jr. How's that for a religious view? Pakistan accused of playing bin Laden double game. In death, bin Laden's still the root of anxiety, says Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times. Five Muslims held under terror laws near UK nuclear plant. Of course, they don't identify them. Why you should blame Tim Geithner, not GOP, if U.S. defaults on its debt. See the Business Insider report. Group sued to block new Utah immigration law. The ACLU is at it again, fighting America. Police say the young son of a white supremacist shot him dead on purpose. If you need entertainment or relief, there's a list of pictures of stars who lost their looks. All as a result of age, suspect lifestyle choices, and Dunkin' Donuts, which have turned some stars from really pretty to kind of gritty. You can enjoy that instead of looking at the death photos of Osama bin Laden's ice cream salesman. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. And now let's see what the latest news. As I said, the death scene photos are very graphic. They're on michaelsavage.com. There's none of Osama. Obama says no photo. Newspapers around the world are saying no evidence are being released. They don't believe him now. Now it's starting to turn into a joke. Muslim sensitivities, Trump transparency. Flashback on Drudge, Obama planned the release of 2,000 pictures of prisoner abuse, but he won't release a picture of Osama bin Laden dead? Many doubters in the Muslim world. Taliban say the U.S. has shown no proof of Bin Laden's death. Someone named Barone must have been listening to my show because he said to get Bin Laden, Obama used policies he opposed. I talked about that yesterday. PR coup, Obama to lay wreath at Ground Zero, but he's going to skip Memorial Day ceremony yet. But he did skip the Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington Cemetery last year. Bush turns down Obama invite. Clinton turns down Obama invite. Schedule conflict. He's got to go to the dry cleaners. CIA chief says waterboarding helped. Well, there's so much news. I don't know where to end this. There's so much news. We're going to talk about it on the Savage Nation. We're going to talk about it right here. We're going to give you the latest and the best. Right now, going to the latest news site, Obama decides not to release images of Bin Laden's body, saying that's not who we are. Duh. That's not who we are, but you're going to release pictures of alleged abuse of radical Islamists at Guantanamo. That is who we are. Indian Affairs Department decries calling Bin Laden Geronimo. Oh, God. Oh, goodness. Oh, God. Everything is a problem. The world's without Osama for 3 days. Has anything changed? No. I still ate too much for lunch. I still have a headache. And I still have allergies. What else is in the news? Well, here's one last story I just found. Someone, a samurai sword-wielding American who waged his own personal quest to capture Osama bin Laden, demanded Tuesday a share of the official $27 million reward following the terror chief's death. I don't know why he thinks he should get it. He says he had a major hand in it. He's proud of the boys? I don't get it. Okay, whatever. It's another lunatic. Another loony who was arrested on a compulsory insurance charge. Gary Brooks Faulkner. He'll be on Fox News, no doubt. All this and more on The Savage Nation. Representative Al Green, Democrat, Texas, said the Ku Klux Klan is a bigger threat than Muslims. And then he bullied reporters after the hearing. Listen to these clips.
It's been reported that of all the 126 terror indictments, all of them have been Muslim. Do you think that should be considered in this particular hearing or no?
I think all criminals ought to be prosecuted. I think all terrorists ought to be investigated, which is why I've said we ought to investigate all of them, and that would include the KKK. Over 100 years of terrorism. Why not investigate them, too?
Well, hold it. Mr. Green. The KKK is a despicable organization. They've been investigated. They've been penetrated. Half of them are FBI agents. Listen to the rest of this in 27.
Congressman King says that they haven't caused as many problems.
Well, ask the men who were castrated whether they caused a problem. Ask the men who were lynched whether they caused a problem.
When did that happen recently, sir?
Does it have to happen recently and they're still existing for us to investigate?
Wait. The woman reporter says to this dummy, Green, when did that happen recently, sir? And he says, oh, that doesn't have to happen recently. Still, you should investigate the KKK, and then he attacks her in 28. Listen.
My suspicion is, based on what you're saying to me, that I should say to you, I hope that you won't defend the KKK.
I don't have any plans to, sir.
I hope you won't defend the KKK.
But I'm just...
I hope you won't defend the KKK.
But I'm just curious.
You're not going to defend the KKK.
This is the level that we have in Congress, Democrat Texas. The brains of an old clam. I never heard anything like this. Instead of embracing an investigation of radical Islam in America, why is Al Green suddenly talking about the KKK? What does it have to do with anything? The answer is unqualified at any speed. A lack of brain power. So, there we go. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Take a virtual tour down the world of therapy. I've dimmed the lights. Put up the jazz music, hung out my shingle, and now I'm playing Life Coach. Cost you nothing. Thousands of dollars of information. I'm just trying this out. I'm trying this hat on. I actually enjoy it. I find it to be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, in addition to being helpful, I find that I can launch into a political discussion right off talking with one of my callers about their life problem, if it works, you know, if it fits. So let's go to the callers now. New York City, WOR, June. You are on the Savage Nation. June, what's on your mind?
Last year, my mother passed away, and she left me some money, and my sister stole $40,000 from a bank account that she didn't think I knew about.
Mm.
She also stole the ring that was promised to my daughter for 30 years.
Mm.
And she took all the family pictures.
Oh, boy.
And I feel like I need therapy. It's such a betrayal.
But now, how well did you get along with this sister prior to this discovery of her theft?
That's why it's such a betrayal.
What, you're saying you were very close with her?
Yes. Yes.
But when your mother died, the true, let's say the greedy side of her emerged. Is that it?
The what? The greedy side of my sister?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Now, was she a poor woman? Was she in desperate straits?
My sister? She does have financial problems, but no, not
who, in... Who was more better off, you or her, financially? Okay. At the time of your mother's death, who was better off, you or your sister?
Equal.
Equal. So you're both struggling, in other words, and it should have been split.
Exactly, and that's the way my mother wanted it.
But what did your mother's will say?
My mother said she made a will, and then my sister swore up and down that there wasn't any.
Well, where is the will? Do you have a copy of your mother's will or no?
My sister said she went with my mother at one time to make out a will, and then when I confronted her with the will, she swore up and down that I'm crazy. There wasn't any will.
Oh, well, it's a tough problem without a will. If you have a crook for a sister, the only recourse you would have would be a legal action against her, but that's going to cost you money. And there's no guarantee of a recovery in that regard. What are you going to go on? On what basis are you going to prove that your mother wanted you to have half the money or that she wanted you to have her ring? What proof do you have to that, to those statements?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any proof? Are there any third parties who would testify that those were your mother's wishes?
Well, there are my nephews, but they're siding with my sister.
Oh, there so you go. And what are they? Her, the nephews are, of course, your sister's sons?
Yes.
All right. So you're ready. You have the family lined up around the money. You know, you're not. The only thing I can tell you is you're not alone. I know other families over a few pieces of silverware that they're breaking up over silverware. Can you believe it?
No, because I can't even believe this.
Well, I think the big thing here is your heartbreak rather than the loss of money. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. The loss of a sister is bigger to you than the loss of the money, right?
Oh, yeah. And my
nephew. All right.
Nephew.
So what I would say to you is, work on that part of the quotient rather than the money per se. Because you may never see the money, but you may be able to understand that your sister never was who you thought she was, or the worst of her came out when your mother died. And you're going to have to say to yourself, your sister died when your mother died. New York City, WOR Rich, you have a question. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Uncle Michael, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I'm in the telecommunications industry. I'm 40 years old. I'm looking to make a change. I'm going to school. It's not an easy thing. Every time I look around, I keep seeing how corporate America works, and it's nothing exciting.
Wait. Hold. You're in communications right now?
Yeah, I work for a telephone company, and they're paying for me to finish my degree. I'm looking to make
all right.
a change.
Well, 40 is a very interesting age. It's an age of enlightenment for man. It's a very important age in a man's life. It's a transitionary. It's a transition in a man's life that is unlike any other I have found. So it is actually a very good time for you to make a change in your life. It's not the last chance, but it is a very good time to have these questions. When society's in flux, it's also a very opportune time for you to start thinking. So answer your own question, Rich. I'll pretend I'm your father. What have you thought about doing?
Well, my main thing is, after seeing all the ridiculousness going on in corporate America, it looks to me that you can't rely on anybody but yourself, and I keep coming back to starting my own business.
Yes, but in this environment, this economy, you really need a better mousetrap to take that shot.
That's why I'm making a call. You know, do I stick it out, finish my degree, and then see what happens with the economy afterwards?
Yes, absolutely no. This is not a time to go out. And you're not living in an age where you can have the ultimate optimism that you may have had 10 or 15 years ago where you're sure something will work out. There's no guarantee anything is going to work out tomorrow, because you started by saying someone is paying for your schooling right now, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So you, wait a minute. So the basics are being taken care of. They're paying you a salary while you're going to school?
And they'll pay for my master's degree if I choose to.
Absolutely. Stick it out. But here's the thing. Instead of partying with your friends, you should spend all of that spare time looking at your opportunities in your spare time.
Three young kids. I spend all my extra time with my kids.
Oh, you're a married guy with kids, no less. That's great. Well, okay, so you're doing it for them. And look, your kids need you, but let me put it this way. You actually have to come first right now. Because if you don't have a livelihood, your kids are not going to have a very good life, right?
Well, you're right. You know, we have a decent life. You know, I'm nothing extravagant. But, you know, one of my biggest fears, I have to put this out there, is, you know...
Does your wife work?
Master's degree. Am I going to be at an awkward age in corporate...
But Rich, does your wife work?
Yes, my wife works.
All right, so you both have a dual income. So you're actually on a plateau right now. You have nothing to worry about. Take a deep breath. Spend much more time evaluating your possibilities after you have that master's degree. It's not going to hurt your having it. Even if you go into a totally different field or even a business, it's going to help you think more clearly. Okay, that's all I can say to you. Yes, stick out the master's degree. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Howard Wasdin is a former SEAL operative, a real SEAL, and he's an author who wrote SEAL Team 6, which recounts his days as a SEAL team member during Desert Storm. He joins us now on the Savage Nation to tell us what kind of planning and preparation it really takes for an operation to take down someone like Osama bin Laden. Howard, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, good to be talking to you, Michael.
Well, what happens when a SEAL team member learns they're about to take down someone as notorious as Osama bin Laden?
Well, I'm sure that's everybody's dream as you go through training, is being the guy who's going to go get the most wanted person on the planet. But with these guys, it's all about professionalism. I'm sure they started getting ready, preparing their equipment, and just got ready to start training specifically to take down this compound.
How long does it really take to prepare for an operation of this magnitude?
Well, everything is intelligence-driven. Like in Mogadishu, Somalia, sometimes we'd have 3 minutes before we had to be airborne. Sometimes you've had have a couple of days. It seems after looking at this op that they might have had a pretty good amount of time if they were, in fact, able to build a mock-up of the compound. And if that was the case, then, you know, that's great. You had plenty of time to dry run, dress rehearse, and dirt dive this this assault on that compound. So to answer your question in a nutshell, how much time? It depends on your intelligence, and all these things are intelligence-driven.
Well, how often will the SEAL team train for something like this?
Oh, wow. Well, keep in mind, this compound aside, at SEAL Team 6, we spend a lot of time doing close quarters battle. We spend a ton of time doing CQB, and that is regardless of any other target or whatever. We practice going in rooms, coming out of rooms, upstairs, downstairs. And then if you have time to do a run on something like this, which is your exact target, then you would go through that, you know, in a day, depending on the size of the compound, 20, maybe 30 times would be my guess. And while doing that, planning for all types of contingencies. Little kid ran out in front of me going into room 2. Old lady came at me with a butcher knife coming out of, or going into room 6, et cetera. Barricaded, going up to the second floor. So you throw every little thing into the equation that you can possibly think of based on previous lessons learned.
Tell us what happens when things go wrong.
One of the lessons learned we definitely had in Somalia when, you know, our Black Hawks went down was definitely have a backup plan as far as the airborne assets. And I am confident that they had that contingency planned for. But to answer your question, the other things that you plan for, I mean, just name it. Demolitions in the hallway, booby trap. A big deal was made today about Osama bin Laden maybe not having a gun. You know, what if he has a tripwire that he can reach over and touch and take down the whole house? So, you know, it's just about a million things have to go through your mind, all the while, you know, on occasion while you're being shot at. So took a special type of guy, and, you know, I'm very proud of these guys, and God bless them for the great job they did.
Now, what's the actual mental toll for a SEAL trainee during their lead-up to becoming an actual member of the team?
When you're doing this type of op, you're worried about right now and what's going on in the next 1, 2, 3, 4 seconds, much less what's going on today, the rest of the day and tomorrow, because if you don't have that type of focus, and I wouldn't say mental toll, I would say mental toughness. If you don't have that type of mental toughness and you aren't able to stay in the moment, stay focused, and improvise, adapt, and overcome, then you don't have to worry about tomorrow. There won't be one.
I understand there's something like an 80% dropout rate in SEAL training. Is that right?
I'd say that'd be a fair assessment. And keep in mind, when you throw those numbers around, just to get to SEAL school, which is BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training, you have to be in good shape. You have to pass a physical training test, an aptitude test, psychological battery, et cetera, just to get to SEAL school. So you, when you go and look at SEAL school in Coronado, you see a lot of guys who are already in phenomenal shape and are outstanding physical specimens. But then, you know, just to get there, here's an example. My class started with about 130 people, and I think we graduated 25, 26. So do the percentages there. But even more importantly than doing those percentages with a dropout, look at the people who applied and didn't even get accepted.
When a mission like this is completed, are the men involved too notorious to continue going out on missions?
No, unless somebody blows their cover, you know, like was done to me in Black Hawk Down. But luckily I retired, you know, and I wasn't affected by that. But notorious, no. They, as long as their cover is concealed, nobody finds out, then they, my guess would be right now is that they've already downstaged, debriefed, and jogged back up and ready for the next op. And, you know, who knows, tomorrow we could be talking about the follow-on op where they got the number two, number three man based on intelligence. You never know. But, no, those guys are way too high priority of an asset, you know, precious asset, to just say, okay, you did an op, now here, good job, go home. Hopefully they'll take what they learned this up, incorporate it into further missions, train new guys coming up, and be an asset for many years to the good guys.
How many of these SEAL missions do we actually hear about?
Let me tell you when you hear about a SEAL mission, okay? When everything goes really, really well, like when we took down the Somali pilots, the snipers took them out, and the op this past Sunday, and then when things just go all to hell, like the Black Hawk Down incident. So whenever we really mess up or things go really bad or when things go really well, that's when you hear about the SEALs. As far as the missions you don't hear about, that just means that it was a successful mission and must not have been a high enough priority of a target for somebody to try to exercise some political leverage.
In your book, what experiences on SEAL Team 6 did you write about?
Well, first of all, the book is written not to give up anything or tell anything, give up tactics or whatever. Believe it or not, it's written as a overcoming adversity book. It goes through my childhood, the makings of a SEAL, the training, and I think it gives people a unique perspective and insight to the path to becoming a SEAL. But I went to SEAL Team 6 after Desert Storm, and the infamous op that I did at SEAL Team 6 was the Black Hawk Down mission. That was the basically my career ender, where I was shot all three times.
People know your Black Hawk Down mission mostly because of the movie. How did it compare to the real experience?
During the actual gunfight that day, I think that Mark Bowden did a fairly good job in that. Of course, it's Hollywood. They're going to sensationalize a little bit. But I think Mark did a fairly good job talking to survivors from that. The part that I go into is a little more detailed as far as the CIA intelligence gathering, missed opportunities, and more importantly, little thing, well, major things like, is a president's popularity rating worth not giving a unit what they need to survive and live, or not? Because it's a fact that some of my friends that died that day would have lived have we had armor personnel's carriers, a couple other items we'd asked, but, you know, some president, not to call names, didn't want his popularity rating to slip due to the fact that it looked like we were invading. I mean, God forbid we should go somewhere and have the upper hand.
Howard Wasden, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
You bet, and God bless our troops.
I'll be right back. Savage. As role models, what are they telling our children? And does that partially explain why, in particular, white males are remaining boys for so long, is what we're talking about. You can't blame it all on Hollywood. You can blame it on birth control pills. You can blame it on the women's movement. You can blame it on Hollywood. You can blame it on the death of the church as a role model. You can blame it on the single-parent household with this little father, a few fathers around. You can blame it on a lot of things. It's a multifactorial problem. I don't think we're going to solve it just by talking about it, but I'm asking the question. How is it that in my generation, I'll tell you, almost every guy I knew, everyone I knew was married in their 20s, got married and had a child, except one guy who was oriented another way. He happened to die very young of a drug overdose, by the way. But everybody else got married, had children. Why? They were required to, expected to, did so. You say, oh, well, they were miserable. They were unhappy. Well, don't be so sure, number one. And on the other side, you're telling me that young guys today are so happy because they're not married? You're telling me happiness exists in not getting married? Happiness is having nobody at home? Happiness is having to go out every night and looking for somebody like an animal walking in the streets, stalking, walking around in the gutter looking for somebody like a mate, like a dog? Every night walking around, that's happiness? So tell me, why is this happening, particularly to the white male? As I say to you, it is particularly a product of the white male today in the West. You don't see this in most Asian nations. You don't see it in African nations. You see it in primarily in so-called affluent white communities. Why is it happening? Does anyone have an answer? Well, we have all these answers. We've covered it. And I'd like to know what you think about this. So let's go to the callers and see what they think around America. New York, Sandy, go ahead, please, your opinion.
Dr. Savage, I'm surely honored. I think there are many contributing factors, the pesticides in the water, turning the hormones more female. But I think two main reasons. First of all, yes, there are a lot of single women raising boys, and I don't think a woman can raise a boy to become a man. I think a man needs to be there. Not only that, it's not politically correct to be a man. I think that...
So you're saying young guys are afraid to act like men? They're afraid that they'll be ostracized if they act gruff?
I don't think it's socially acceptable anymore, and I think that it's been a long-range...
So you mean because the roles have been reversed? Women are allowed to act like men, and men are acting like women?
Well, I think we've opened the gap we've opened the door to a lot of different behaviors, but I think that, I don't know, it's been sort of like a strategic movement. You know, in the 60s, men were running to Canada, they weren't holding up their end of the familial bargain, women are attracted to strong men, at least I think so, and that's sort of...
Well, when you say strong men, do you mean men with money? I got you there.
Well, I can't deny that, but I think even if you watch birds, it's the male. He makes the best nest. He cleans it out. The one who seems like the safer bet is the one the female.
You know, I once had an old Russian rabbi talk to me when I was young. You know what he said to me from the old school? He said to me, he was joking with the words. He didn't speak very good English, and he said the word husband means house band.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean? He said, house band. He puts a band around the house, and he holds it together. I thought that was a beautiful statement, by the way.
Well, not only that, but you take the male equation out, you factor that out. Men protect their realm. Now, if you're saying that men are not important, who do we have to protect our realm? However small, it could be just five kids and a wife in a small home. But I think that men look at the world so much differently than women do, and we can't get them confused, and it's just...
Are you saying that men have become cowardly?
No, I see...
Does that summarize it all in a nutshell? If we were writing this in simplistic terms, would we say that the white male has abrogated his responsibilities to become a husband and a father because he's become cowardly?
I don't think it's cowardly. I think he's kind of giving up.
Giving up? That's interesting. That is a distinction, isn't it?
What?
He's giving up. Why? Because he can't do it. He can't cop to it. He can't do that role.
No, I think every place he goes, look at TV, they make the man look like an idiot. The only one who knows anything at home is the woman. And every place
Yeah, the TV goes, ads are horrible, but most TV ads, the ad industry is run by guys like Galliano, the designer. Okay, they're all about the same. The mentality is the same, and that's why they denigrate the male. I understand that. But by the way, they don't just target the white male. I've seen them do this, by the way, recently to the black male in ads, too. It's disgusting. Every male, whether it of any race, is denigrated in ads, turned into some kind of schlemiel, non-human, like a weakling. The lawnmower falls out of his hand. He sets the barbecue on fire. He falls over, and mommy has to come save him, right?
Yes. Yes. It's like the mother is the only one who knows what's going on. And I think, you know, as a young boy...
So in other words, if you want to put it in that bigger context, it is the women's movement who has tried to make the male irrelevant. They have made the male irrelevant. They want the matriarchy to run America on some principle idea that the matriarchy is somehow better than the patriarchy, and a matriarchy will save America. Well, how did that work out? Just take a look at the White House. Take a look at Hillary Clinton. How's that worked out with the matriarchy in power?
Michael, did you
How's that worked out with Michelle Obama in the White House running everything? And by the way, it's alleged on the inside that the advisors to the president are his wife and his mother-in-law. That they're really running the country. How's that worked out for the country?
Yeah, it looks good, huh? Did you ever look at that study that they did on elephants? I know it's ridiculous, it sounds stupid, but male elephants, they were so worried about all these poachers getting all the elephants, they decided to move a whole bunch of them out. But they didn't have the tools to get the big buck males out. They didn't have the machinery to get them out. So they got females and young. What started to happen over a year or so is that the males began to form gangs and beat up the other females, things that in the elephant community.
Wow, you're kidding. You mean once the elephant family structure broke down, they became kind of wild?
It got so bad that the young female elephants were being raped rather than joining into family relationships with the other young males. But what they some smart scientist, and I wish I remember his name.
Whoa, this is some story. Wow.
Good. Anyway, what he said, well, you know, maybe we need to bring back the bulls. By this time, all the young male elephants were just, they ran the river. Nobody can go and drink without their permission. They ran in gangs. They were just terrible. They were beating up the other animals around. Anyway, they finally got large enough machinery and tools to get the huge bull males there.
And
okay, so one day, these bull males are just, you know, nonchalant, maybe only four of them, nonchalantly going down to the watering hole. And they're going
to... You're starting to sound like Janet Napolitano now.
No, listen.
No, I don't mean the elephant analogy. I mean your voice suddenly shifted into Big Sis. So go on. What's the end of the story?
Okay, the interesting thing is that now nobody got in his way. These young guys just moved aside, and they took testosterone levels. Do you know that prior to those bull male elephants going there, that the T levels on these young boys was through the roof? Once
yeah.
the older males began... you know, asserting themselves just by the very way they were walking. They didn't
yes.
have to do anything.
Right.
The T levels, the testosterone levels in these young males started to go way down. They became
You're kidding.
Became
That's
more
an
active.
Amazing story. I mean, this is a hell of a study. Heck of a study.
Well, see, you speak my
Sandy,
language.
Sandy, are you a scientist? What do you do?
Oh, I'm a registered nurse, but my mind is in other places.
Yeah, this is a heck of a story about elephants. You know that that's a weakness of mine, elephants.
There's so many things, you know, and I know about the pesticides turning, causing the body to produce female
hormones. Yes, that's right. Some of the plastics in our food and water supply in the environment mimic estrogenic compounds. There's no question about it. That's not mythology. Also, the high level of soy that's been introduced into the American diet is completely unnatural for this population, incidentally, and it's also feminized men. Do you know that? Soy-based products also mimic estrogenic-like compounds.
I know. But you know what I found out? Is it's almost impossible.
Well, no, let's go into diet for a minute. It's something I'm an expert in. Do you know how many young boys have been raised for 20 years on low-fat, no-fat diets? No meat, low-fat, no-fat diets? Have you any idea what that does to a child?
Right. Without fat, you can't absorb. You can only do vitamin C and B complex. You know, they're water soluble.
The boys are nutritionally deficient. They're deprived of hormone building blocks, and so they're not developing into full male. So I really have not even talked about the nutritional component of this extended childhood, so to speak, or extended boyhood. I appreciate your call very much.
Savage.